From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. On today's show, Rockwired presents the dynamic Los Angeles-based pop band Never Wonder, soul rock diva and Sir Mix-a-Lot protege Tamika Williams, and alt-pop singer and songwriter Beth Thornley. Please stand by. Rockwired Radio is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stay tuned for more. Welcome to the first ever podcast of Rockwired Radio. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and it feels surreal to be speaking into a microphone once again and showing off all the great music that comes my way thanks to the online music magazine, Rockwired.com. For those of you who've become acquainted with Rockwired as a music magazine, especially in the past year, I've got to tell you that Rockwired actually started as an online radio show back in January of 2005. It aired every Saturday from a rinky-dink studio in Anaheim, California that looked more like a place to film pornography. But anyway, that show ran for about 4 years without fail. I mean, I can't even remember missing one single weekend. And in April of last year, the show ended due to budget problems. And after that, I settled in the state of New Mexico to get away from the economic situation in California to continue with Rockwired as a writer and journalist. And while I love interviewing bands and writing for Rockwired, I miss doing a show. A couple of weeks ago, I downloaded some Audacity software, which is free, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know. And here you have it. This is Rockwired Radio. To kick off Rockwired, we've got three great interviews with three great artists, and all of them are female, or female-led anyway. The first in this series of profiles is a band called Never Wonder. I've been acquainted with this band since 2005 when they had a completely different sound and a different singer, for that matter. With the addition of their new singer, Megan Bobo, a former American Idol contestant, by the way, Never Wonder shifted gears from heavy alternative rock to a more R&B pop approach in their sound. From the band's exciting new release, Let It Out, here is Never Wonder with Is This the End?
I'm
That was Never Wonder with Is This the End from their hot new CD, Let It Out. If you've been paying attention, you'll notice that it's the unofficial theme song for Rockwired Radio. At the time of this recording, I haven't even asked the band if it would be okay for us to use the song, but as you'll notice in a few seconds, me and the band go way, way back. Visit Never Wonder at their official website, www.neverwonder.com. Recently, I spoke with singer Megan Bobo and bassist Vincent Ramos of Never Wonder regarding the new album and their new sound. Here's a little taste of how it went. Let It Out is out there for people to hear, and you know, and this album was pretty much a saga, you know, in terms of getting it done and finding the right people and getting it out there for people to hear. How do you feel about it now that all the work that has gone into it is behind you?
Well, I feel a great sense of pride and accomplishment. I mean, as you said, this has been something that we've been working hard towards, finding a sound, finding the best sound to complement my voice, and as well as going into the studio and adding all the extra touches as far as keeping it modern and relevant and keeping it, you know, production-wise great, too. So I feel like we've accomplished all those things, and I think it's great.
I see. And before you joined the band, I mean, Never Wonder was this all-out, you know, alternative, hard, gritty, hard rock band, and now with Let It Out, you know, the band's embraced, you know, a pop sensibility, for the lack of a better word. I mean, how easy was it to get, you know, the band's, you know, rock sensibility and your pop sensibility together on the same page? How did that happen?
Well, I just think it takes a lot of time to find each other's chemistry, and I don't think we've perfected it yet, but I think it's a big adjustment. I think people expect Never Wonder and what they knew of Never Wonder. So I think we got some places to go, and we can improve more on the pop sensibility, but I think also it's a happy medium right now.
I see. And talk about how music began for you, you know. How was that something that you gravitated towards, of all the things you could gravitate to?
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think music just kind of comes naturally to you from a young age, and that was something I always loved to perform and get up in front of people and sing and dance. And ever since I was little, and I just kept doing it, and, you know, obviously pursued my education first and did all that, and then when it was time to go off and explore the world and be a grown-up and do exciting things, I chose music and to come to L.A. With the show American Idol after making it to the top 25, and then stayed and wanted to pursue music more and got together with Never Wonder and did this album, and the rest is history.
Describe what it's like, you know, on that American Idol stage. I mean, here you are, a girl from Iowa, and had you ever been to L.A. before American Idol at all, or?
I had been to L.A. once before to visit a family friend. You know, I never thought that I would live in Los Angeles, or honestly, I never thought that I would actively pursue music as far as a career or anything like that, just because it never really seemed like a realistic opportunity from where I'm from. But coming out here, that changed that, and the feedback from American Idol validated my talent and changed that perspective as well. American Idol was a great experience. Just, you know, it's rigorous. It's nothing like what you see on TV, but it really truly is more than just talent. It's a whole thing of luck and opportunity and having personality and being in the right season and the right time and the right place. And for me, it's my luck just panned out, and with that, it validated my talent and led me here to do bigger, better things.
Yeah, it seemed like the experience kind of solidified things for you.
Exactly.
I see. Talk about how you became acquainted with the band after losing their first singer. How did that happen?
Well, I was just looking for different producers, bands, anything to kind of keep me singing in Los Angeles, because I didn't really know a lot of people. And I looked on musicconnection.com and saw an ad for a singer, and I had auditioned for a bunch of bands, and I went to this band, and there was something cool about their rock vibe, even though I knew going in that I wasn't going to be a rock singer, nor was I looking necessarily for a rock band. So they were willing to adjust based off because they liked my talent and my voice, and we kind of started there.
I see. Talk about the songwriting process within this band. How does that work?
Well, usually it's a collaborative effort, but I do mostly the melodies and the lyrics. But it's one of those things that you start out in the room and you start with the riff, and someone will bring an idea and you build the song together. And so that's usually how we do it.
And since I'm going to play this song, you know, for the show, talk about the song Wild Out. How did that one come to you?
Wild Out was a song that I actually brought to the band that I had done prior on my solo artist demo, and we decided to redo it into more of a Never Wonder feel, and so that's kind of how it came along, is we brought it and kind of restructured it, rearranged it, and voila, we got magic.
I see. And so had you been doing songwriting long before the band?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, I think I've always jotted down ideas in poetry, but I have never been able to really equate it with music or been able to structure it in a song format. So it was really a good opportunity being with the band and getting other opinions and being able to actually do it in a room where you have an idea and they can play it while you sing it. So that was a unique experience, and I think this band has definitely helped improve my songwriting abilities.
Visit Never Wonder at their official website, www.neverwonder.com. From their CD Let It Out, here is Never Wonder once again with Wild Out. What do you think each member, other than yourself, brings to this project that makes it work, personality and musically speaking?
Well, I think each of us brings something different, that's for sure. But like I said, you know, a band is like any other group activity where you have to have the right chemistry and right personalities to make it effectively work. And, you know, you have Vince who manages, he likes to manage, he enjoys being a leader. And then you have Dre who's got a great sense of humor, who can make light of things and be positive. Then you got Scott who's got a strong work ethic and comes prepared and has effective use of time. And then you have me who's, you know, willing and able to learn and want to be creative and up for anything. So I think with that combination, you're only going to improve and make a great product.
And how are live shows going for the band at the moment?
Live shows, we've been pretty busy doing one a month, trying to keep it at that just because it's easier to draw people out, a bigger group out at one time. And that obviously helps for the venues here of bringing people and merchandise sales, et cetera. So they've been pretty successful shows.
And since, you know, joining this band and being up front and being pretty much the focus of everything, what has been the biggest surprise for you since joining this band?
Gosh, that's a hard question. The biggest surprise. I think it's kind of, it's still kind of surprising to me that people still expect Never Wonder to be an alternative rock kind of gritty sound, just because they still have a female vocalist, or that in essence they're still the same people but a different vocalist. And I think that's unrealistic. That kind of surprises me that people have that expectation still, just because, you know, music is always evolving, music is always changing, and so as we know with any popular group, that's what they do. Their music changes as well. So I think that's surprising if the expectation for Never Wonder is what people may have known or expecting what it should or is going to be. They'll be surprised by this album.
I see. And speaking personally, you know, it's a fantastic album. You know, you guys really have something here.
Thank you very much.
Talk about what songs stand out for you the most from this album and why.
Well, they're all very personal to me because they're all really based from my personal experiences because I handle the lyrics. But, you know, Spinning is really special to me because that's about falling in love, and I've had a recent experience and still am, you know, in a relationship, so that's really exciting, and those feelings, I think, are relatable for everyone. And also, you know, I think Let It Out, because it's about really embracing yourself and being true to yourself and not being inhibited. And, you know, every single one, I mean, I could go down the list. Enough, When I Was Unemployed, it's about a song of struggle and hardship during a hard economic times, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. Superior, because I'm superior. No. Yeah, I mean, I could go through each one of them and say why they have a special place in my heart, but I think those are probably my top ones right off the bat.
I see. Are there any plans to take Never Wonder outside of Los Angeles, or is that just something you guys are just going to wait on till things...
Well, no, I think that's something we definitely have talked about. I just think because of the economic culture, it would require a lot of planning and a lot of funding and investors. And so anybody listening, we welcome that. I think just because of the time, it's not as easy to just get up and go. And just go, and you know, you gotta stay at hotels, you gotta bring your equipment, you gotta really plan touring and those kind of things out. So that's definitely in the works, and that's something I know we'd like to do.
I see. And what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard this album, Let It Out?
I'd hope they come away with a new sound, a new look at music, and a new way of listening to what they listen to, and maybe seeking out more independent artists like us, and telling a friend about it.
Visit Never Wonder at their official website, www.neverwonder.com. From their CD, Let It Out, here is Never Wonder once again with Moving On. We'll be right back. listening to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and we'll be back with more interviews and music from Tamika Williams and Beth Thornley after these teeny tiny little messages. This is Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio here at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and for our premiere show, Rockwired is being manhandled by girl power. That sounds kind of kinky, but it's the truth. Believe me, there was no concrete plan to celebrate female artists. It's just that they were the ones who happened to be the first to come to do an interview for our radio show. At the top of the show, we interviewed Never Wonder, and now we're turning our attention to another R&B rocker named Tamika Williams. Based in the state of Washington, Tamika Williams has released her debut CD, The Black Hood, with the help of producer and co-songwriter Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, that's Sir Mix-a-Lot. I know, whenever I hear his name, I always think of a big black ass too, but when I spoke with Tamika Williams a few months ago, she told me that despite Mix's status as a rapper, the guy is a rock and roll expert. Because of that, Tamika's debut CD isn't some exercise in trying to be Beyonce. Instead, Williams combines soul with power chords and ends up with an album that's got piss and vinegar flowing through its veins. From the debut CD, The Black Hood, here is Tamika Williams with Ho.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What you doing?
You know, just out here doing my thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah?
Working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been trying to call you for the past couple of days, and
mm-hmm.
I've been able to get in contact with you.
Oh, you know, baby, I just been out here trying to do my thing, trying to make a little money, you
I mean,
know?
How long do you really expect me to take this shit?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm serious, though.
Hey, who's that calling your phone? Who's that?
Oh, that's my girl. I'll just get it back in a minute.
Yeah, your girl. Okay, but anyway, man, you know, me and my homies, we've been playing darts, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Trying to do our thing, you know, playing some darts.
Darts?
Yeah, darts. What's wrong with that?
Now you're calling me a hoe, 'cause a chick wanna hit the dough. Now you're calling me a hoe, I'ma do what a chick gotta do. Why do you gotta call me a hoe? Call you back whenever I get time. Now you're calling me a hoe. I can't have game if I don't play. I used to cling to your arm, I used to live for your smile. I used to believe in a dream named could have kept him pleased, but he'd be out pumping some gutter butt's mouth in the back of his car. 5 years down, see him on the prowl. I got the villas out looking around. Now you're calling me a hoe, 'cause a chick wanna hit the dough. Now you're calling me a hoe, I'ma do what a chick gotta do. Why do you gotta call me a hoe? you're calling me a hoe. Now you're calling me a hoe.
From her debut CD, The Black Hood, that was Tamika Williams with Ho. As you've just heard, Williams' sound walks that delicate balance between R&B and hard rock. It is also a sound that makes her stick out in a pop environment filled with princesses. I've always been the type to think that there ain't enough black people doing rock and roll. And that was what made Tamika stand out for me, and that was the chief reason why I had to get on the phone with her. So, here's how the interview went. Well, with the Black Hood out there, you know, released after all the work that has gone into it, how do you feel about the finished work?
I am really proud of the finished work. It was a long process, but it's like, you know, you have that 9-month baby, you have a baby and you have to wait 9 months to see the results. And it was a little longer than 9 months, but to see the results, it's been great. I think it's a great project. As soon as I think people get a hold of it, they're going to really enjoy it themselves as well.
It's like you, and Sir Mix-a-Lot had a baby and it sounds great.
Yeah, we had a baby.
We're not going to get any rumors started on our first show. So, describe working with Mix. What's that like?
It's a lot of fun. We're honestly like brother and sister in a lot of ways. He brings out the best in me in a lot of ways as far as artistically, and he pushes you a lot. But he also lets you have the freedom to be an artist and to discover different things, try different things that I probably wouldn't have tried before, I'm actually trying. And he's really, really funny. I know people think he's funny, but he is a very funny guy, sometimes too funny to where I'm like, just shut up. But he's great to work with. I think we work really well together.
Talk about how you and him got together to do this project. How did that happen?
Well, you know, it was we knew someone, a mutual acquaintance. This guy, he was my manager, or wanted to be the manager in training, as you could say. And he had said that he wanted me to meet Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know, and like I said before many times, that I was just like, who is that? I mean, I knew who he was, but I was just kind of like, really? Like, and that guy did Baby Got Back, but... I went ahead and made, you know, had the opportunity to meet him. We met at his studio, and he listened to my demo, and I didn't actually talk to him for a while. And then he actually called me up and, you know, said, we just talked. We didn't even talk about music. We just talked about things that I wanted to do, things that he was into, and, you know, kind of worked it out where we were going to meet each other. And I met him again and worked on this song with him, and honestly, it was history from there. We just really gelled with each other and built a friendship. I'd like to say that we built a friendship first, and then we started to work together in business.
I see. And talk about how music got started for you. How did that happen?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I know everybody says this cliche thing. I was singing since I was two. I don't know if I was singing since I was two, but music has been a part of my life since I can remember. My dad and my mom, you know, my dad can't sing, but he's always played music in the house. Every morning, you know, every Saturday morning, we'd hear something on the record player or the CD player, you know, as time went on. And my mom was in the choir. My great aunt was a well-known gospel singer back home in Alabama. It was just always there. My grandfather, he played the harmonica, really loved blues, and I would sit there and listen to music with him. So it was just something that was just so much easier for me to relate to it. Music always told a story to me. If I couldn't relay it in, you know, how I talk to people and so forth, or, you know, you don't always have a right way to tell your emotions. And by being in music, listening to it, it was so easy for me to relate, so easy for me to kind of be like, this is how I'm feeling, just listen to this song. So that's how it became easy for me. I mean, I think I started really realizing that music was something for me by the time I was 7. And it just been from there, I just couldn't help myself but to sing and hear music, and I mean all kinds of music. So
I see.
That's pretty much it.
I see. And in listening to the Black Hood, you know, I mean, you know, it's got a strong rock sensibility going for it. How much did rock music resonate for you growing up?
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, my folks are from the South, and, you know, we moved up to Washington, you know, when I was pretty young. And I loved all kind of music, but R&B was a real big, you know, deal for me, R&B and gospel. But moving up here, you know, to Washington, you cannot help but to hear, you know, alternative music. And because I loved music so much, and I was in, like, you know, the orchestra, you know, the orchestra choir, where they, you know, you listen to opera, you listen to, you know, goodies but oldies. And then you also had, you know, a diverse crowd of, you know, there was, you know, Teen Spirit from Nirvana. I mean, that was, like, huge here. And then you've got Creed and all of those things. So, it just became easy for me to kind of listen to it. I'll be honest that I listened to it, but I never bought it. And then when I met Anthony or Sir Mix-a-Lot, he just turned me on to it even more. And then it was about the live instruments, and I went to a Korn show, and I saw how the fans just reacted, and how not only the fans, but, you know, the artists, how they really got into these songs. And it wasn't just this I love you, miss you, baby type of stuff. It was like some real hardcore stuff going on, and I really wanted to talk about those things, so it was a lot easier for me to relate to it than I thought it would be.
I think you're the second person that I've ever interviewed who's worked with Sir Mix-a-Lot. The other one was Out of Sight.
Yeah,
and he is, and what I was going to say about that was that, you know, both artists have rock sensibilities going for them. Is that the same with Sir Mix?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he, you know, you'd be surprised. You know how when you ask him what's in your iPod, he could tell you that it's more rock and, you know, funk in his iPod than anything. I mean, there's times we're on road trips, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I just want to hear, you know, play a country song or something. But, you know, he loves it. And I love that about him, that he's open to all kind of music. And, you know, it's not just about what you know, what you see on the outside. It's really, if you get to know that person, it's just, like, amazing. And he's really turned me into a lover of the music. I mean, I can't say everything, but, you know, I'm really open to what's out there and excited about seeing shows and, you know, meeting these people. I honestly can't wait to do stuff with, like, you know, I would love to do a song with Marilyn Manson, Korn, you know, all of these people out here, even the newer Evanescence. I mean, I would love to do something with him, just because I've been open to it. And once you open yourself to it, I mean, it's great music.
Yeah, absolutely. And describe how you and Sir Mix-a-Lot go about, you know, writing together. How does that work between the two of you?
You know, it's funny, because when we write, we love to eat. I love to eat. So anytime that I can make an excuse to go to dinner, I will. but I would say that we actually just talk. We go to dinner and we just have conversations, and it's not even about let's write a song about it. It's just we're talking about the day, or maybe somebody we know, or something that's happened to us in the past or currently. And it just turns out we're like, you know what, we should talk about that. Let's write about it. And, you know, we'll talk about it, and then, like, a day later, we'll meet up and actually sit in the studio and set a formula. A lot of times what happens is I go in and I just lay, like, these dummy tracks, not even words that make sense, but just how I want to put the, you know, the phrasing into a song. And then we'll go back and play it back and actually write songs to it. It's been a good formula for us, so I don't think we're going to break it just yet.
Visit Tamika Williams at her official website, www.tamikawilliams.com. From her debut CD, The Black Hood, here is Tamika Williams once again with What She Gave.
Died playing softball And everybody had a grandma. Advice was something you heard. Any girls remember these words? Don't talk to strangers, lock the door, and leave them dirty boys alone. Innocent as we could be, wide-eyed and only 13, eating candy and running, but 17 is coming.
What she gave, she couldn't get back. Never again would she feel.
Sitting at the drive-in, I ask my fear, do I really wanna be here? I kinda wanna call my mom. Three words and the lust kicks in. Long ride home. I couldn't say a word. And who's the girl in the mirror? Can you save me? Do you love me?
From her debut CD, The Black Hood, that was Tamika Williams with What She Gave. Visit Tamika at her official website, www.tamikawilliams.com. When I last spoke with her, she had yet to do a live show. As a matter of fact, the night I interviewed her, she was getting her hair done in anticipation for her first live show, which was set for the very next day. Read an unabridged interview at rockwired.com/tamikawilliams.html. If you couldn't get any of that, the link is posted on our official website. It's nice to know that I didn't have to think too hard about who I wanted to interview for our very first show. Tamika is always a great interview. Here's how the rest of it went. The first single off the album, Ho, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better first single.
Yes. I love that song. It's great.
What inspired that one?
You know, it was funny. It was a mixture of things. I had, you know, when we were doing this album, I thought I was in love, and the person broke my heart. Oh, boo-hoo me. But it didn't work out. And eventually I moved on, and he came back. And, you know, I kind of basically was like, I'm just really tired of, you know, your crap, pretty much, your shit. And you know, it's funny because when you feel embarrassed in relationships, you know, you find yourself saying things to people that, you know they're gonna, it's gonna push their buttons. And it was too, it was just a mixture of that, and then also, you know, when you go out, ladies know, most of us ladies know that, you know, you're going out, you're having a good time with your friends, there's some guy that you are not interested in. You let them down easily, and for some reason their ego is hurt and they feel like they want to call you out your name. I figured I couldn't really do a song that was saying bitch. It was, I had to do something that was saying something that would actually get played. So I figured hoe would be the next thing.
I see. and with the song What She Gave, I mean, you really establish yourself as a storyteller, you know, with that one. Talk about what inspired that track.
You know, it's a lot of different things. I mean, I look on my past and future and present and what's going on. I mean, I have a niece, I have young friends, and even in high school, and I've experienced it personally. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that I was with the person I was with for 4 years, but I gave that piece of me to that person, and I believed in the idea of giving this, I'm going to be married, this is going to be perfect. And then you realize that, no, it's not, it may not be that way. And so by me doing that, I wanted to talk about it. And it's not to say that I'm condoning, you know, premarital sex or anything like that, but it's basically stating that, know that there's consequences to your actions.
And the song Heroes is, you know, I mean, ever since the war in Iraq started, you know, a lot of artists have had differing things, differing opinions, differing things to say about it, the war, you know, pro-troops, pro-war, pro-Bush, pro-Obama, whatever.
Right.
What inspired this one for you?
It was more or less for me, it was just about getting the emotional side to it. I mean, we talk about so much of the political side that I wanted to actually just talk about, you know, the soldiers and their families. I have family members that have been in this war and have come back. I even know family, not necessarily family, but I know people that have had husbands go over there, and it just, you know, for them to come back, it just destroys them. And, you know, a personal experience, I knew someone that had a husband that went over to Iraq and came back and he killed himself. So those type of things I wanted to talk about, that at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, getting them over there and doing this. It's the side where we're here, and there's wives, there's families, there's mothers, fathers. They just want to see their kids. They want to be able to not worry about if they're going to get that knock on the door. You know, and I wanted to talk about that other side of it. We hear so much about, oh, you know, this is what's going on in Bosnia or whatever. I may be saying the wrong place, but let's talk about the people that are here and have to keep everything together for those soldiers when they come back. And it's just really, honestly, can we bring them home? Let's just bring them home. Let's get them back to real life here, and let's enjoy them while they're here.
And how have people responded to your music? I mean, let me be a little more specific. I mean, you know, you're doing this rock sound, which, if I may be blunt, isn't, you know, entirely, you know, representative of what, you know, black performers do. I mean,
right.
Has that issue ever come up, or was I the only MF-er that ever brought it up?
No, you know, I think most people don't say it much because it's like a silent elephant, but I think it's shocking, and that's what I wanted. You know, most people don't think, you know, they hear the title Black Hood, they're not going to assume that it's going to be, you know, this black girl that not only, I don't look totally rock, but I mean, I have other things about me. I feel like I'm a sexy woman, and wanted to show that, but I've gotten a lot of good feedback, so I can't complain.
I see. And have there been and how have live shows been going, if at all?
You know, I haven't done an actual live show. Actually, tomorrow will be the first time that I do something, but the rehearsals have been going great. It's a lot of work, so kudos to all the people that are doing live shows now, because it's a lot of work.
Oh, so I'm really getting you the night before your show. Wow.
Yes.
And that's why you're under one of those bowl things that let out a
yes.
bunch of heat.
That's right. I'm at a great hairstylist, and I'm just excited. So it's
and this
great.
Late? You found one open this late?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I came in, and she was very sweet enough to help me out, so I'm really excited.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Where is your show going to be?
It's going to be in Seattle at the Showbox in Soto, Showbox Soto in Seattle, Washington.
I see, and you've got a whole band and everything, so.
Got a whole band, and you know, paying a lot of money, so. They better play real well tomorrow, I tell you that.
Awesome, awesome. What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard The Black Hood, the album?
Honestly, I would just like people, when they listen to the album, to just take some, you know, it sounds corny, but to reflect. And I hope that the album brings, you know, a conversation for different things. You know, either whether it's funny or a reflection of things that have happened in the past and where you've been. I just think that the album is a conversation piece, and hopefully it would spark people to not just talk about it, but to be active in certain things that are going on.
And why the title of the album, The Black Hood?
You know, it's really, really easy and simple. The song was called Black Hood, and I just figured, hey, let's call it that. Most people are not going to want to hear something that says, you know, something really simple, so I figured that's catchy. It's something that most people wouldn't think about, so let's just do it.
And from the time that you noticed this musical gift within yourself up until now, what has been the biggest surprise for you? What didn't you expect?
I didn't expect myself to be so involved in the writing process and becoming more creative and feeling really good about being creative about the things that I'm doing and feeling comfortable with myself and confident in the decisions that I'm making.
And what do you think is next for you, musically speaking?
Hopefully, you know, another album, and that album does well. I hope to get into movies as far as my music getting into movies. I don't want to act.
Oh, okay.
I can't act. I won't do that. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, hopefully that would be something that I would like to do. And, you know, get out there and just actually just let people hear it. And I love to perform, so hopefully I'll get out there and do more touring. That would be my next big thing.
Visit Tamika Williams at her official website, www.tamikawilliams.com. From her debut CD, The Black Hood, here is Tamika Williams once again with Heroes, A Letter to President Obama.
For
You're listening to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and we'll be back with more music and an exclusive interview with singer-songwriter Beth Thornley after these teeny, tiny little messages. This is Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and we're down to the final segment of our premiere podcast. It may be the last thing on the agenda, but it is by no means the least important. Of all the music that has come my way this year so far, Beth Thornley stands out for me the most thanks to her latest CD and its title track, Wash You Clean. After hearing that opening sax riff of that amazing piece of pop music, I knew that 2010 had officially kicked off. I hear the song here and there on TV every now and then, but I'm hoping that it takes off in a big way. It's a great song, and God knows it deserves it. Here is Beth Thornley with the first single and title track of her latest CD, Wash You Clean. Tell you, catchy as hell. That was Beth Thornley with the title track from her latest release, Wash You Clean. I recently spoke with Beth over the phone regarding the new release and how she has grown as a songwriter. Here is how it went.
Well, Wash You Clean is out there for everyone to hear, and now that it's out there, how do you feel about the finished work?
I'm still really excited about it. It's been
interesting because I've had friends call and they tell me that their kids are going crazy for it. And I don't know, I think kids are a pretty good barometer for what feels good. And I've got one friend who has a 2-year-old daughter that calls it the Snaxophone Nice Monkey Song.
She must mean Wash You Clean, the title track.
Exactly. Oh, were you? Okay. Well, maybe I should back up because I thought you were asking specifically about Wash You Clean. But just in general, in terms of the overall album, I still feel, yes, really good about it. I've been getting great feedback on a lot of the songs. A lot of people have different favorite songs, and to me that's a really good sign that maybe it's an overall good product.
I see. And what does the 2-year-old call this song again?
The Snaxophone Monkey. I think it's the Snaxophone Monkey Song.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Now I'll know what to call it on the radio show. What do you think is different this time around on this album from your previous releases? What do you think has changed?
Well, I just like to hope that I get better as a writer, and my producer likes to hope that he gets better as a producer. And I still love my first and second album. I really do. But I just want things to... I just want the songs to be better and the production to be better. So I would just like to think that maybe that, if there was a difference, that would be what it was.
I see. And talk about the producer that you worked with on this album.
Well, his name is Rob Cairns, and he graduated from Berkeley as a composer for film and TV, but he also enjoys producing bands, and he's a multi-instrumentalist, and I'm just really lucky because he can play nearly everything that we need to have played. If he feels like, there are a couple of tracks, even though he plays drums, there's a couple of tracks that he wanted a really professional drummer to play. So we went to a studio and had those laid down in a studio by Brendan Buckley, who played on 3 or 4 of the songs. But, you know, other than that, and like a trumpet player and a euphonium player, Rob's played almost everything else. So I'm pretty lucky with that.
I see. Have you worked with him on previous releases, or is this a first time?
Yeah, no. He did the second album, which is My Glass Eye, and he did my first album, which is just my name, Beth Thornley. He did both of them.
I see.
So we've really gotten used to working together. It was, you know, we really kind of had to climb that mountain. I think everybody has to figure out how to work together, and I think we're in a good place now, so it just makes sense to keep going.
I see. And talk about how music began for you as an individual.
My dad was a minister of music in the church, and so I was around music from a really young age, sang in choirs, and then, you know, I was forced to take piano lessons, as so many kids are. And so I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to be able to continue to use it through my life, but it had become so much a part of my life that I knew that whether I made a living at it, I would somehow always have it in my life.
I see. And what sort of music inspired you in this, you know, in this musical direction that you're in now as a singer-songwriter? A quirky one, if you don't mind me saying so, but,
no,
you know.
I'm actually flattered that you would call me quirky. I love that.
Oh, okay.
I want to try a lot of different things, which is why I think the quirky word fits and actually makes me happy to hear it, because I don't want to get inside just one box. I like a lot of different things, I guess. I like albums that have a lot of different moods, and so I just kind of strive for that. The only way I know to push myself is to make it different every time, or as different as I can. And even though I write under the pop umbrella, I just like to think of it as a really large umbrella. But I just feel like the only way I won't get stuck in a rut is if I really force myself to try different things. So I just listen to a lot of different kind of music and think to myself, well, I'd like to try something with that kind of feel and that kind of style with that kind of, you know, melody.
I see. And specifically, how do you go about writing a song? How does that work for you? Is it the same every time, or does it change every time? How does that happen?
I usually start with a lyrical idea, something about content that I want to write about. Sometimes, though, again, because I feel like I have to force myself to be uncomfortable in order to change, I will sit down and just start with a melody, because it's so often just the words that come first. But I guess if I had a formula, it would be I would write some words that could sort of be a verse, and then I would write some words that feel like they might be a chorus, and then I would just go back and try to hang the melody around that and see what happens. And then if I find that I'm getting a melody that doesn't work with the words, I might move towards finishing the melody, and then I'll go back to the lyrics and see if I can change them a little bit to work with the melody. So, I don't know, it just all feels a little like crazy land when I'm there.
I see. Well, specifically, talk about how that saxophone monkey song happened. How did that come about?
Well, I'm a real Beastie Boys fan, and I wanted to write something with a hip-hop groove. I won't ever call it a hip-hop song, and it's really not. It's kind of a funky retro James Brown thing with a little bit of, you know, Beastie Boys thrown in and maybe a nod to the Dust Brothers, you know. But I just kind of liked all of that, and I wanted to see if I could put it all together. And so I just went for the sax. I was just hearing a riff in my head, and I went from that. And again, back to Rob, the producer, he played sax in college. I believe he was actually a double major. I'm not positive about this. And I think that was his main instrument. But as a composer, he just didn't have much call to play sax. As a composer for film and TV, he's playing a lot of keyboard to trigger samples. He's also playing a lot of guitar and bass, and never a lot of sax. So I just thought it would force him to pull out his sax, and then I would be able to try something with a bit of a hip-hop, even retro kind of funk thing going on. And that's kind of where it all came from.
It sounds like it's quite the crowd pleaser. I came across this YouTube, you know, video of you playing with the band. It looked like the Hotel Cafe. I can't remember.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. Yeah. I see. I'm home. I'm missing LA already. But anyway, yeah, and I remember watching it, and I don't know if it was the person that recorded it. Well, obviously it was, but you know, you're at the way end of the screen, and your backup singer's like front and center. It was just kind of visually confusing.
Yeah, it's because that's where the piano was, and you can't move the piano.
Oh.
So I was at the piano, and that's just where I have to be. And then, yeah, the backup singer, that particular stage is really small.
It is.
It's kind of a miracle we all got up there. So she was standing where she needed to stand so that she could hear the monitor, and then Rob was off to her left. And there were a couple of people that were had handheld, just like flip cams there that night. And they ended up giving us that song on flip cam, and we just sort of pieced their video together. And that's kind of how it came out. And that's why there's, like, wild, you know, shaky photography, and then sometimes it'll just flip from one side of the stage to the other. Like, when the Barry Sax solo starts, whoever was filming it went, oh, it's over there, and then twisted the camera over there and to the right. So, yeah, it's all spread out and not too easy to follow, I guess.
Nice.
The crowd likes it. The crowd, I mean, because Barry Sax just isn't something you get to hear every night in a rock club.
No, it's not. It isn't. Absolutely.
It used to be more, but it's less now.
Exactly. And I remember the last time that I interviewed you, you brought up, you know, taking vocal lessons and how you always felt that you would never be an Aretha Franklin. Talk about that again.
No, I knew I never would be. I knew that. And I think at some point, I think there was something Bruce Springsteen said once. He knew he would never be the greatest guitar player and that he had better work really hard on his lyrics. I could be wrong, but I think that's something I heard or read Bruce Springsteen say once. And it got me thinking, you know, you got to go with your strengths. I've never been a naturally fantastic vocalist. I'll never be Aretha Franklin. I'll never be Patty Griffin. I wish I was. I'll never be, see, who else do I, would I, even a Bonnie Raitt. You know, I just, those kind of soulful singers, I just knew that was not going to happen for me. So I thought, well, I'd better work really hard on the song. And so that's where that's why I consider myself a songwriter first.
Visit Beth Thornley at her official website, www.beththornley.com. From her CD, Wash You Clean, here is Beth Thornley with You're So Pony.
I'm originally from Alabama. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting that you're hearing it, because I always think I fool people, but I don't think I really do.
No, you're not fooling anyone.
And the more I have to drink, the less I fool people. It really comes out in full force if I've had a couple of drinks.
Oh, Southern Comfort, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a lightweight. It can be two drinks of almost anything, and the Southern accent's back in full force.
Yeah, you're kind of a lithe girl. Yeah, of course, I could see that. But at what point did you move to L.A.?
About 10 years ago or so, right before I put out my first album, which was in 2003. But I worked on it for a couple of years before then. So that I had been kind of touring around the country with the band and landed here and decided to stay.
I see.
Yeah, I had gotten tired of being a gypsy, so I decided to stay here for a while and see what would happen. And that's when I actually started writing, because I didn't know how else I would do it if I didn't write my own song. So that's when I started doing that.
I actually heard Wash You Clean on some MTV show a couple of days ago, and I got all excited for you.
Yeah, it was actually a VH1 show.
Oh.
Their Tough Love Couple show. It was their season premiere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that, well, VH1, MTV, they're under the same company. You know, they're kind of almost the same thing.
Yeah, nowadays.
Yes, absolutely. So they just, you know, they just air different things on different channels is all. But yeah, it was Tough Love Couples. I was really excited about that placement. And super cool that you heard it, too.
I know, it was just a chance thing. I mean, whenever I hear a song from someone I've interviewed, like in a, whether it be a record store or a bar, I always got to make a point of standing on the highest, you know, point and saying, I interviewed them, you know.
Oh, I don't blame you. That must be really cool, especially some of the, like, you know, more famous people.
Exactly, but people are like, you know, sit the fuck down. But anyway.
Oh, well.
But from this album, what songs resonate for you the most personally and why? I mean, you know, audiences are going to have their favorites, but what is it that, what songs off of it speak to you the most, having written them? And
I guess the two that speak to me the most are Bones and maybe Never Your Girl. Those are probably the two most personal songs. And they're sort of down the playlist in terms of album order, track listing. Bones is, I believe, 6, and Never Your Girl is, I believe, that one might be 9. And I kind of thought that Never Your Girl would get lost. It's not lost, but it's a ballad, and ballads don't tend to get your attention right away. But I hope people are hearing Bones, even though it's number 6. It sounds like it's going to be a ballad, but it by the time it's into the second chorus, it's completely rocking, and by the time it hits the bridge, it's just really going. And I just really like that song, and I hope other people do too. Give that song a chance, you know.
You So Pony is a curious choice for a second release, I think.
Yeah, it's, well, again, I was hoping it would, just kind of catch people's ear, and it was just something fun, and sometimes I get tired of writing these angsty, singer-songwriter-y kinds of songs, so I just decided, what the hell, I'm just going to write a pop song for the sake of it being a pop song. It's not going to have any more importance than that, and I just want it to be fun, and I want it to be something that people want to make them want to get up and jump around to. So there's no hidden meaning or agenda with that. I just wanted to kind of do something fun.
Yeah, and that song and the title track are like the two, you know, like, you know, bouncy poppy songs, whereas everything else seems to be very ballad heavy. Was that intentional, or was it just you? Was it just you going through the motions as a songwriter?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call everything else a ballad. Like, for instance, A to Z is a real straight-up pop, jangly swing song, you know? And then, like I said, Bones rocks really hard. It's a dark song, but it rocks really hard. And then the third track, Everyone Falls, is really rolls along. And I think it's the subject matter that might make people think that the rest of the album isn't as up. Those songs are a little heavier in their meaning, but the feel and the mood are pretty up. There's No Way is also a straight-up pop song. It just rolls right along, but the subject matter is serious. So I would say there's really only two ballads on the album, and it's What the Heart Wants and Never Your Girl, and everything else is anything from a medium tempo song to a heavier rocking song.
I see.
Yeah, but I just think that the subject matter leads people to think it's the other songs are heavier. But if you strip away the lyrics and just kind of go with the groove, it's not too much of a downer album.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
And with that said, what would you like a person to come away with after they've heard the album?
You know, I guess I would like the maybe album title to kind of ring, you know, Wash You Clean. Maybe, you know, feel like they've maybe been doused a little bit in a good way. with something maybe fresh and new is maybe what I would hope for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the single alone does that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
A nice summery song released in early part of the year. But anyway, it's still a nice summer song, summertime song.
It takes a while for people to find some things. So I'm hoping that with the summer still, you know, a couple of months away, that song can still snowball into something and maybe hit this summer. That would be really cool.
Visit Beth Thornley at her official website, www.beththornley.com. From her CD Wash You Clean, here is Beth Thornley once again with Never Your Girl.
For a long time I pretended there would be a perfect end. That for now it didn't matter. Turn the tourniquet again. And all hands here without hearts don't know what they started. You can't say you love me, 'cause I know where we've been. You can't say you love me and do it all again. All the sparrows
That's going to wrap it up for our first ever edition of Rockwired Radio. It feels great to be back, and now you can expect lots of great music and exclusive interviews with some rather fine artists in the very near future. And please don't overlook rockwired.com as a place to read about the latest in independent music. A special thanks goes out to the members of Never Wonder, also to Doug Deutsch Publicity Services, Tamika Williams, Beth Thornley, and Wendy Brinford Jones of Hello Wendy PR. I couldn't have done it without you guys. If you've got questions or comments or even insults, send an email to me at djlush@rockwired.com. On behalf of Rockwired Radio and rockwired.com, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.